You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Chevalier Mortgage. You can call Virginia directly at 303-257-6578 or visit dnvrmortgage.com, where you can get signed up for a free consultation and to discuss all of your options, as well as get free DNVR merch. Check it out today. I'm sure you've heard about the great mortgage rates out there right now, but Mike and Virginia are not your typical mortgage company. Yes, they do have the phenomenal rates, but what makes them different is that Mike is a certified financial planner and looks at so much more than just rate when designing your home loan. Plus, they're a small family-owned company, just like us here at DNVR, so you'll always feel like a person and not a number. Again, head on over to dnvrmortgage.com and check them out today.
Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Use code DNVR to sign up for a new account and get amazing odds boosts every single day. I'm your host, Rudo, joined by Evan Rowell and Blaze Hunter. Avs kind of dunked on Chicago tonight, didn't they?
They dunked on them in the first 10 minutes and then said,
put it in cruise control after
chance,
that.
I guess, yeah. But yeah.
That first period, I mean, they were swarming them. There was no room to breathe out there if you're a Blackhawks.
Shots were 17-2 at one point, I think. Yeah. So,
and I think one of those, well, maybe the third shot on net was basically a clear.
Yeah, from center ice.
Hit the goalie.
First
so
three shots, nothing was in front of 60 feet.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was a fun first period, to say the least. Obviously, Avs completely dominated in the first 10 minutes. They go up 3-0. It never felt super close, but I mean, we can get into all of the details here. Raise your hand if you had Jack Johnson scoring the Avs' first goal of the season. And if you raise your hand, I don't believe you.
I mean, if I did, I'd be making a lot of money tonight.
You'd have gotten a real good odds 100%. On that.
100%. Congratulations to the new millionaire out there that bet that bet.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what did we think of Jack Johnson's game on the whole? Because obviously, yes, the goal was great. Did not know Jack Johnson had to pull it to the backhand and flip it top shelf move in the bag. But the rest of the night, how did you feel about his defense?
He was all right. That third pairing scares me a little bit. I did think it was interesting that net empty, they went with him and Johnson and Johnson as opposed to Murray.
They did the vaccination, yeah.
We all kind of assumed Murray was the six, but now I'm kind of like, well, I guess we'll see how this plays out. But
yeah.
Certainly was fine tonight, and we'll kind of see how this goes from here.
Yeah. It was a weird one, right? Because the Avs led by a significant amount for the majority of the game, but what are your thoughts on it, Blaze?
Well, who cares? He scored the first goal.
Fair
enough. Let's go.
Fair enough.
Looked unreal. You take the number off the back. I mean, that's that's a top line forward.
Anybody in
goal.
Anybody in the league would be happy to score that one. That's true.
Boy.
No argument on that one.
Doesn't get any. If you're a defenseman, you get the puck at center ice, and then you just look at the other team, just trips over each other.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, they made it easy for him. They made it easy for him for sure. Goal number two came shortly after the Ultima deflection. EJ shoots it from the point. It goes off of Kadri, off of Landy's stick, off of Landy's skates, and into the net. What? I mean, do you just laugh and know that it's your night when that happens, or what do you feel like?
I mean, I feel kind of like the Avs there. It's just they're out playing.
Yeah,
Chicago's
earned
so
it
much
a little
it's
bit.
Earned.
Yeah,
yeah, like
okay.
They've got that many people in front of the net. You're going to get bounces, right? You got that many people in front that's ricocheting off of two players and going into the back of the net. That's a good night.
All right.
Puck's going the right way.
Typical Landy goal. Just right in front of the net. That's what he's going to do for the next 8 years. That's what he's been doing for the past 10 years, whatever length he's been in the NHL. So I guess we should just be used to it by now.
Yeah. You'd think you would get used to it eventually, but keeps happening. A 2-point night for Landy, by the way. Yeah. So. Very nice. And this is
two points, 6 minutes and penalties.
Yeah, well, we'll get to that. We'll get to that. Fairly obvious, but just to reiterate, this game was without Nathan MacKinnon, without Jared Bednar on the bench.
Taves.
No still. Taves as well, yeah.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, it's
far from full power, and the Avs didn't really have any trouble at all.
It was very noticeable in one area, which I'm sure we'll get to. But
Yeah. If we're sticking with chronological order, third goal, Bowen Byram gets his first real goal in the NHL. Shot's good, dog. Shot's good.
Man, I thought played lights out tonight. His positioning again, like that was something that we were digging him last year for.
Yeah.
Looks like he was working on it over the offseason because he basically just took people out of the game when they got into the defensive zone. It was great to watch.
He does not lack confidence.
That's for sure.
Puck.
That is for sure.
Pretty much all over the ice, and it's awesome, especially considering how his season ended last year where he got hurt and then basically the staff just didn't feel comfortable playing
him,
because he hadn't played in so long. And to come in and be super comfortable in your first real NHL game and however long it's been. And it was, it was really nice to see. And I think he's in for a big year. And to think, you know, this team's got an embarrassment of riches on defense once Taves gets healthy. It's just, you know, if we're going to get that, we didn't even get peak Makar tonight. And we got
not even close.
Byram
not even close.
One of the few guys that was in the minus category.
Yeah. Well, you know, this was, his preseason game, I guess.
Yeah, that's true. He hasn't been playing.
This was his first real action, yeah.
Though I will laugh. I mean, you know, this is the first real game of the season, right? So much concern at the defensive position. It's weird when all your top dogs start playing.
They actually play them all together, and it's like, huh. Turns out they're hard to score on.
That third pairing we really cared so much about. <It's> like,
very concerned the whole time,
yes.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, we're already in the room. Let's talk about the defense as a whole. What did you guys see? What did you like? What needs to be improved? Hold off on special teams. Everything else about the D. What are we talking about here?
Byram Johnson was on fire tonight.
Yep.
EJ was, you know, his shot share numbers are out of control, but I'll be honest, I didn't notice him. There's a couple poor clears on the penalty kill. He had the assist, but beyond that, I didn't notice him really all night, which is completely fine. And if that's what you get all year from him, then
not
take
noticed
it.
With like an 80% Corsi, you're doing pretty okay.
If Johnson's just consistently solid, doing his thing, then that's exactly what this defense needs because they have enough guys that are going to be flashy and do everything that way.
He eats so much time on the ice too, right? Yep. It's quiet. You don't really realize it until you look at the box score and you're like, well. He was out on the ice a lot.
22 minutes or whatever it is. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He did not leave the ice with the net empty.
Yep.
That's what we got used to a couple years ago, and we're probably going to see it again.
Yep.
Easy for Bednar to trust him.
Yeah.
Tonight.
I think anybody that was concerned about Byram potentially leaving
gone.
The lineup
when
Taze gets back should probably just, you know, calm down a little bit. He's fine.
He's not going anywhere.
Who goes out of the alignment? Or the line, excuse me.
Like I was saying, like I think we all kind of assumed it was Johnson, but I mean, Murray was the low man on time on ice.
I didn't mind Murray tonight, though. I thought he had a pretty damn good stick defensively and was doing good things. But.
I was surprised that they went Johnson and Johnson on the PK because I don't think Jack Johnson's very good on the penalty kill. And I think that's where Murray would be.
Murray's
going to
cover more ground for sure.
Yeah, he's
right?
definitely a little bit more mobile than the defenseman out there.
If Murray can stabilize there, the penalty kill, you know, we'll talk about it. It wasn't very good tonight, but If he can stabilize there, that's where he can. He should separate himself from Johnson as the six.
Yeah. And look, there's still not really a timetable on Taves, so you can expect this to be the top six at least for the next handful of games.
He looks completely ready watching him in practice, so it's just. I imagine the answer is just like, take your time with it.
I heard something like they're thinking like six games in that he'd be.
Look, they just dunked on Chicago, so it's not like I don't think they're in a rush to.
That's true.
What would that
be
when they come back from that first trip?
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Because Bednar did say he's once he's cleared, he's pretty
he's
much
coming
good.
In.
He's going
yeah.
in.
Yeah. All right.
But yeah.
I think there is going to be a little bit of battle there between Johnson and Murray, though. And I think it's going to be.
I don't think it matters. Much if the top five are
yeah that's true.
If Byram looks like this, the top four is gonna just play 50 minutes a night and it's whatever, so
yep.
doesn't make that one too hard of a conversation. I don't like when Taves comes back, the Avs have options, right? They could play Taves with Makar if they wanted. They could do a Taves Girard pairing if they wanted.
Yeah,
it's pretty flexible.
We haven't even talked about McDermott.
Do we have to?
No, we don't.
So, we'll talk about Kemper in a little bit. We'll talk about the forwards in a little bit. I want to hit these super chats really quick, though.
First one from Evan, just 99 cents.
Thank you very much for the super chat,
it's not
Evan.
Me.
Much appreciated.
Second one, Tim
Jim
Tannhauser.
Thank you.
Chat. Super chat. Hockey is back.
Life
Meaning
is good.
Hockey. It's awesome.
I got to say, what did you guys think of the TNT presentation?
I
liked it.
I liked it better than ESPN's, to be honest with you.
I liked the power play on the ice.
I didn't like that.
See, I liked
it. I really didn't like the clock.
Did you like the streak back in the day?
No, I didn't like Fox Tracks either.
See, I didn't like that stuff either.
I didn't mind the when they did the 4-on-3, they had the triangle, though.
Yeah.
I didn't mind that. So.
What did you think about last night? You guys watched the Vegas game?
Yeah.
Did you like the camera
like
angles?
The music.
I wanted to talk about this with Evan.
Yeah, I don't like the camera.
Yeah, there we go.
It makes me nauseous.
I like the angle, but they got to cam it. They got to calm it down,
yeah.
right? They can't
the
be like doing this the whole time.
It's the constant moving. Like the angle itself would be cool because it's similar to the one we have in the press box, and I like being up there. I like being up high because you can see everything, but if you're constantly moving, it makes you... Yeah, I don't like watching it.
I do like it for like the special teams having like the out on the ice.
Yeah,
look at it because then you can see things developing a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
But some of it's just like, check out this cool stuff we got.
Yeah, but no, I like TNT tonight. I like their corner overlay.
Yeah,
it's very simple and clean.
Super simple, small, out of the way.
Having Gretz on the crew is awesome too. It's always gonna be dope.
He got his hair painted tonight.
Seems like they got some good chemistry out there as well. That,
yeah.
that group of guys.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Some laughing going on, you know, making it fun.
All right, one more super chat here. Billy, thank you for the $5. Yeah, EJ, pretty ridiculous. It made it look easy, to say the least. Anyway, we are brought to you all by Breckenridge Brewery, the official beer of DNVR. I've got my my Avalanche right here. Taking a little sip from the straw. It was dope. Quite enjoyed it. Check them out. Obviously, here at the DNVR bar, we have a bunch on tap. You can also get them at your local liquor store. Use the Breck Beer Locator online. You can also find Good Company Hard Seltzer, if that's your thing. Absolutely delicious seltzers. You cannot go wrong with them. Highly recommend. And then check out Strava Craft Coffee, the CBD-infused coffee. You can get it cold brew at the bar, if that's your style. Or you can get it online 25% off when you use code DNVR25 at checkout. They have a bunch of different flavors. It's all awesome. It works super well. Helps with a bunch of different aches and pains. So check out Strava as well. After that, we got the Broncos tailgate. The party bus and everything is happening. It's $35 for a ticket round trip. And you get access to the DNVR tailgate itself once you get there. Which is all you can drink beer. All you can eat sexy pizza.
Sexy.
It's worth it.
Would you say it's more or less sexy than sexy Rudo tonight?
Way less sexy. This is peak sexiness right here. Peak sexiness over here. Hard 10 tonight.
Oh, hard 10.
Yes, I am confused by Rudolph's drinking a beer out of a straw.
I don't want to mess up my lipstick, guys. Come on. Gotta protect the lipstick. Sexy Pizza is the brand, yes. It's called Sexy Pizza. That's not like a thing. That's actually their name. They're very good. They're at the tailgate, so check it out. We got one more super chat. What was it? I'll buy 30 crop tops if y'all make them available. There you go. D-line, we need crop tops wherever you're at. Okay. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Rudo, Evan, Blaze coming at you. So I want to get to the forwards and stuff a little bit, but let's start with Kemper first. Let's get that out of the way. Look, didn't have to do much in the first period.
Oh, not much
but
at all.
But periods two and three, he made the saves the Avs needed, right? There were some breakdowns, a couple of breakaways, some two-on-ones where Kemper showed up, did what he had to do.
Absolutely. I mean, I think what you're seeing here is this is a guy that's played in front of the Phoenix defense for years, and now he's playing in front of a, I would say, substantially better defensive core.
Yeah.
Would you guys agree with that?
Yes, I would definitely agree with
that. I mean, obviously in the first period, he saw, what?
Five shots?
Yeah. He's feeling for, like, Fleury at the other end. Like, he's like, I've been there. I know what's going on in your head right now. Like, this is brutal. But, you know, like, realistically, for a goalie, that can kill them, too, as well. Not sure. Seeing a lot of shots.
Being
not
out of
being
the
engaged
action.
In that game, right? Yeah. Like, then all of a sudden, puck comes down to your end, and you've got to be on your game.
Yeah, Fleury must have felt like he was back in his teenage years with Pittsburgh with no defense in front of him in the first period. But, yeah, Kemper looked like he's huge. That was the first
thing. He's a large human being, yes. For sure.
When they would cut to behind the net, it's like, oh, my God. Especially after
over this
Grubauer is at least, I would say, 6 inches shorter than him. It's a big difference. The only thing you could see tonight with Kemper is that there's still some communication things. Like, there was a point in the second period, I think Gerard wanted to give it to him to freeze it. And they kind of got stuck in there and then turned it over and things like that. And then it happened again in the third. But that stuff just comes over time. But, he made Kirby Doc his you-know-what tonight.
Not tonight, Kirby. I will say it did feel like he had to do a lot of fighting through screens tonight. And I think some of that is probably not quite on the same page with the Avs' defensive structure. The two goals that beat him, you know, one a shot he'd never had a chance in a million years of seeing and then also hit off Murray and in. The other one a perfect shot post and in. So hard to fault him on either of those.
Those two goals were insane.
Yeah,
the first one's two posts and in.
Yeah,
like, come
it's
on.
Like,
the second one is like what you try to teach every kid growing up is, which is get to the center of the ice and you basically shoot 18 inches over a pad on the corner.
That's a perfect shot.
Yeah.
Hard to blame him. And he ended up with like 30 saves tonight. I know he didn't have much work in the first, but when the Avs got halfway through the second period, they're kind of like, what if we didn't skate so hard anymore and just kind of chilled for the rest of this game?
So, I mean, if you can win it out, then fine.
Yeah. Then they took care of business. It's not like it was
a little iffy at the end there.
Was it? I mean, I don't like, we'll get to the penalty call and we'll talk about that in the third period, but other than the penalty, it felt pretty comfortable to me.
Yeah, I mean, you just don't want to see those. I mean, again, we'll talk about this later, but like, you just don't want to see those late penalties.
Sure.
That can let a team right back into a game.
Definitely. If they score there, it's a different situation.
Yeah, especially early on with 3-4 minutes left in the game. It's not good.
I didn't notice Patrick Kane until the third period.
Yeah,
so that's when you know
things,
it's like,
man.
All right, well, I think the Avs are going to walk away with this pretty handily here. Because if they don't have him going, then they don't really have
they
much
They don't
else.
Have a ton, yeah.
Took me two periods to realize that was Henrik Bjorkstrom.
Yeah.
As number 13. I was like, who the hell is
that?
Yeah,
he's in Chicago now, so.
Yeah. That whole team is just a weird.
So many moving pieces every year on that team. It feels like they're constantly a lot of turnover, but.
I mean, I'd love to see Bjorkstrom turn it on. Not when he's playing against the Avs. Watching him at DU.
He can beat up Winnipeg a little bit, maybe.
He was a player at
DU. You're not going to get a better chance if you're than playing with Patrick Kane, I guess. So.
That's true.
That is true. Hard to argue with that. getting into the forward core, going down the list, Lanny had a great night. You saw a top line of Kadri, Mikko, and Landy. Mikko didn't do a ton tonight. What did you guys make of it, the top line? Just keep running it until Mac's back, which will be like maybe game three at the latest. Yeah. But
I don't see why they wouldn't keep running this until Mac's back. Mikko was okay. He tried to do a little bit. He's a little too fancy tonight. Sometimes you just want to see him rip it.
Yep.
Definitely seemed intent on feeding Compher on the power play.
Yeah.
And Kadri was good, especially defensively. I thought he was really working hard.
Had a super nice back check in the third period.
Saved
a
goal for sure in that third period there.
Yeah, and he had a couple other plays where you could tell he was just battling.
Yeah.
He's going to have a chip on his shoulder pretty much all year long.
He got the goal, too, the fourth goal, which was really nice to see just to get him going a little bit, you know. But, yeah, like that. Second line.
Nuke was Nuke.
Yeah.
I thought he was awesome, but he just doesn't have hands. And now he literally might not have one hand. He looked like he was still in pain in the third period.
Yeah.
They cut to him, and he's looking at his hand. So I thought Compher, you know, he can't score, but he did completely fine for one night.
Yeah, he played solid. No finish there. No finish with Nuke. And certainly the one question the Avs I don't think answered tonight was that second line wing spot. Yes, Nuke looked good, but in a game where you don't score three goals in the first 10 minutes, you're going to need that line to score.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think that's still up in the air.
I think it's the same questions we had because I didn't like that rookie line either.
They had one good shift
in the first period, and then
they had one good shift where they fed Jost a great opportunity in the middle that didn't go, and then kind of fell apart pretty quick.
You're gonna start to see the Blednar real quick.
I think so too. I mean, they had Kadri took a shift with like Jost and Ranta at one point
in the game too.
Well, they finished the game.
It was a face-off thing.
Oh.
And they finished the game with Jost between O'Connor and Helm, which I think is what they want to do.
They
but
know
they
that's
can't.
Their shutdown guys, right?
Yeah. They're, so there's just they gotta. That's where they gotta figure things out. I didn't think Sampo was that good other than a couple moments, and Newhook I didn't notice really at all.
Yeah, I didn't notice Newhook basically at all either. Sampo was fine.
Sampo is what he is.
He didn't do anything particularly exciting, but if you're a fourth line, which, let's be real, they essentially use that as a fourth line outside of Megna, who got the lowest TOI on the team.
Yeah.
He's not going to hurt you if he plays like that.
My theory is that they called up Megna just because they're like, well, we're just going to hope this is one game and McKinnon's back. And also, they care about this thing. He's a right shot center and he's fast, which Maltsev isn't. So,
yeah.
Just for one game, we'll see.
Yeah, that's. I'm not going to read particularly much of anything into the Magna thing with knowing McKinnon will be back in Monday at the latest, or they have 2 days off after Saturday, I forget.
I think so, yeah.
But
Tuesday.
Game three at the latest, McKinnon will be back, so whatever. Let's get to the Super Chat. Thank you for the $10, Andrew. Bo Byram, our king of the game, by like a mile and a half.
100%.
He gets 2 points tonight, his first ever NHL goal. He picks up an assist as well. Has reached his point total from last season about 40 minutes into this season. So Byron balled out. Easy DraftKings king of the game there. Highly recommend you become a bosexual as soon as possible. On that note, we are brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. Head on over there. When you sign up with code DNVR, you get amazing odds boosts, including betting $1 on any football game. If they score any points, if the game does not end 0-0, you get $100 in free bets. So you might as well go get $100 to play with on DraftKings. Once that bet hits, you can bet the $100 on whatever you want. Hockey, football, basketball, baseball, whatever. You can bet on it. It's super awesome. I have a blast doing it. Highly recommend you just, even if you don't really care, like just find something fun to watch and throw a couple bucks on it. Have some fun. It's a total blast. So check out DraftKings. Download their top-rated sportsbook app now. Must be 21 or older. Colorado only. Other terms, restrictions, and conditions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. DraftKings is an official sports betting partner of the NFL and the NHL now. As of today, officially, the NHL's official sportsbook is DraftKings. So
wow.
Get on it. Must be 21 or older, I think I already said. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Thank you, Sean, for the bosexual hype. Much appreciated. And, yeah.
We got a – we talked about offensively, but there was a couple moments defensively where he played Patrick Kane pretty much perfectly.
Yep. And that's
– that's what he did last year.
Right. Yeah. Last year he was a – he got the job done at a very high level defensively. The offense just wasn't there. And – As you've pointed out, Blaze, him getting the job done defensively last year was pretty squirrely, but he made it work.
Yeah, there was some like out of position spots. I wouldn't say his defense was bad.
Right,
but
right.
There's definitely some stuff where they're, you know, looking to clean that up.
He's relying on talent and speed a little bit there to get him by. And I'd be hard if you asked me to point out a bad shift from Byram tonight. I'd be hard pressed to find one.
Yeah. I thought he looked great defensively. I mean, all the way around. Like, come on, he's the king of the game. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
you're not going to point anything out. But, like, true defensively, enough. Too. Like, there was a few plays there, I think, we were talking where he just kind of took away time and space from anyone that had the puck around him.
Yeah, and especially the first 40 minutes of this game, the Avs played complete, effective, high-level team defense. The forwards were engaged. It was a struggle for Chicago to get sustained zone time 5-on-5, full stop.
Absolutely. I mean, that's like, it's the wave effect where it just feels like there's just waves of guys coming at you because it's like you shake one guy off and then there's another guy right on you. No time to think. No time to do anything.
Yeah, Makar has 6 months of rust coming off in this game, so... Yeah. Weren't expecting the world of him, but
still drew a penalty, rocked some dude in the corner.
Makar decided he wanted to be physical tonight a little bit for sure. Like
poor DeBrinka, I don't know what he did to these smaller.
Nobody likes him on Colorado.
No,
he's
pretty apparent.
Makar got him, and then Girard got him again, and then I think Jack Johnson got him in the third period. It's just like,
well, he was like came up on his arm a little bit. He was fine. Like he came back out later, but
10 seconds later.
Like, yeah.
He still looked a little shaken up. I don't know. Maybe it's a small guy thing. But yeah, like that's the type of defense that the Avs, if they're playing that way, is there an offense of the league that can break them? I don't know.
Man, if they play like they did in that first period, sustained through three periods of a game, good luck. Good luck with that.
You don't have to play defense if you have the puck all the time.
It's true.
That's why when Taves comes back, it's like, well, you know. Because I would assume they'll move Byram to the third pair, which kind of evens out the puck moving a little bit. And then how are you going to get the puck from this team? You're just it's just not going to happen a lot.
True enough. As of tonight, look, Landy's on 160 4-point pace or something, so
and like 320 penalty minutes.
Yeah. All right, sure. Let's go there first. Late in the third period, Landy hits Kirby Duck. Kirby Duck has the puck, but he's on one knee. He's in the part of the ice where it's like, if you get hit here, you're gonna die because you're gonna get yeeted into the boards. And Landy does exactly that to him. Sends him into the boards with 4 minutes left, six minutes left in the game. It was less than four because he got 4 minutes of penalties and was out,
like
right? So it was like 3.5.
Yeah.
Look, I'm going to be honest. I don't think that was a penalty.
He was defenseless on his knees.
He had the puck, though.
Boarding can sometimes be up to interpretation of the ref, so I think that makes sense why they would call
it. It's not like he hit him high, even if he was on his
knees. No, but it's where he was at. He hit through the body on the ice.
Is there not an onus on the player with the puck to not put himself in a dangerous situation? Like, Landy didn't hit him in the numbers. Landy didn't hit him, like, in a bad way. He hit him essentially shoulder to shoulder. And it's not his fault that Doc was 3 feet from the boards. Like, Doc shouldn't be there.
Yeah.
I mean, I can see where you're coming from, but I mean, from the other standpoint, it's like, did you have to hit him to take away the puck?
And like, 100%, from a game situation standpoint, Avs are up 2 with less than 4 minutes left. Yeah. He did not have to do that. I totally get that. But I still don't think it was a penalty.
Yeah. I mean, I could see how they're going to call it a penalty most of the time. Because the guy's on his knees. He looks defenseless. He's 3 feet away from the boards. That's where bad things happen, right?
Yeah.
To players.
That's how you get your head sent into the boards.
Right, like, right.
They teach every player, like, this is how you die.
And you just don't like to see that. Like, from a more talented team, that could have been a death sentence for the Avs, right? Like, you've controlled basically this whole game. You've basically put everybody to sleep out on the ice, and then all of a sudden you're going to let them back in with 4 minutes left in the game. If they score a quick goal right there, it's a one-goal game. That puts your team in a bad spot.
100%. Like, I totally see an angle where he didn't have to do that, but I also don't know that it was a penalty.
Yeah.
But
More than anything, it was just I do think it was a boarding penalty. I mean, people saying don't play the puck on your knees. Like, what? So you're supposed to, like, he's got the puck on his stick. Is he supposed to just give it up? Like, what are you going
to
do?
I mean, but the defenseman's just supposed to not play.
I mean, you can take the puck away from it. It's just, it was more than anything, it was just a stupid decision. And for whatever reason, Landy came on the ice angry. Like, they showed his entire shift, and he was just plowing through people.
He was looking for something, for
sure. It's just like, you know, you're up by 2. You have to understand the game situation more than anything. And, yeah, I mean, I completely understand why they called 2 minutes. It's, Avs killed it. It's not a big deal.
In the end, it doesn't really matter. Yep. There will be nothing there from, like, the Department of Player Safety or anything.
It's No. This isn't Kadri we're talking about.
Landy's angry this year because he was angry in that preseason game with Ryan Hartman too. It's just like, all
right,
man.
He just wanted to get out of that game, right?
That eighth year got him fueled a little bit on the contract. He's ready to go, ready to prove some people wrong.
I mean, you don't mind it right now, right? Like, he's getting he's the emotional part of the team, right?
For
like,
sure.
He carries the emotion for the team, so fine, do it. But like, you don't want to see that stuff later in the year, hopefully going into the playoffs. You don't want to see stuff like that.
Understandable.
Got to be a little bit more disciplined there.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I'm not going to push it any further. What I am going to push is, with a giant, giant caveat over the top of this, like, massive, the F special teams were pretty bad tonight.
Oh.
And yes, there is no Nathan MacKinnon on the power play, so obviously that's a big deal, but
Pass to JT Compton doesn't hit as hard.
Yeah. It was not good. It was not good. And it. Look, I get Nathan MacKinnon is important to this team. I get he's their best player. The power play struggled to look even remotely dangerous for a lot of the night without him.
Yeah, it's. When you don't have MacKinnon and Makar doesn't look like himself, he's still getting his legs under him, and then Rantanen doesn't have a great game, then obviously, the power play is not going to look very good. The second unit looked like garbage.
Yeah.
They have, since they took Kadri off that top unit, they have not found a spot for him on the power play because he is not built to run a power play on the wall.
He cannot distribute the puck well enough for that.
No, he's a shooter.
Yeah, right.
What are you doing with him running the power play?
Yeah, it's. It doesn't work.
Yeah, because they have all these analytics that say they need a right shot on the bumper spot, and it's like, okay, I get it, but now Kadri's just kind of out there. I mean, the second unit just, I think you were saying it, Newhook has run that spot.
You need to run it through Newhook, yeah.
But on the same side, he's not really doing anything, and he's not really earning a ton of ice time.
It's not like he played great tonight, right? So, sure. But you can't. It was immediately obvious that you can't keep running it through Kadri. Yeah. Like,
yeah. I mean, even on the first line, though, too, right, is like when you're missing MacKinnon, you could see that Chicago is pressuring the puck a little bit more because they didn't have to worry about that across-the-ice pass to somebody that's super skilled.
Yep.
So they were definitely pressuring the puck a little bit more than they probably would have been if MacKinnon was out there, giving everyone a little bit more room to maneuver on that PP1.
Yeah. Look, there's no doubt that MacKinnon completely changes the complexion of certainly power play one, but I still have serious questions about power play too, especially with actively pushing Nichushkin on that power play. Active, like, from preseason, it looks like they want Ranta on that power play over Newhook right now, which I'm not saying Newhook earned it, but Ranta's a weird fit there too. It's just a whole bunch of weird fits.
Yeah, Ranta is a weird. Sorry.
Well, I was just gonna, Nuke, Ranta, Kadri is a lot of real lack of distribution skill on one power play unit. And Berkey. I guess Berkey can make some plays, but we'll assume he's going to drop down. I don't think all three of those guys are going to be on the power play once Taves comes back. But
yeah, they could run the two.
Three of them on the power play unit at the same time is like, okay. You're basically banking on Girard to kind of do
all of it. Yeah, he has to do all of the passing.
Might as well slide him down onto that wing position.
One game, you don't have your big guns, and your other big guns are not great.
Yeah, look, not going to read that much into it with no McKinnon, no Taves, no Bednar to kind of run the show a little bit, although I guess Bednar kind of delegates that anyway. But it was honestly pretty – the important parts of the game felt pretty vintage Avalanche, right? Like, when the game was not more or less decided, they were dominant on the puck. They were dominant in even the defensive zone when it came to possession. They did not give up a lot. And they hit two posts. So they're keeping up that pace from last season, too. Ripping pucks off the bar. What did you guys think of Chicago? Because Adrian and I both picked them to make the playoffs this year. Did that look like a playoff team to you guys?
Not early. Their defense is still not very good. Jake McCabe is solid. Seth Jones is just... he's not what they think he is.
He was a human being that played hockey for them tonight. I don't think I can say a lot more than that.
The best part was when he was shooting the puck and toe picked.
Yeah.
I was like, there it is.
Yeah, he's got 10 years to figure it out or whatever.
Yeah.
They're paying him forever. It's true.
I thought they were going to be a lot better of a team. Like, watching them just some preseason games that they were in, they looked like they were moving the puck around. Looks like they were going to be somebody that could compete, but I mean, it's so early right now. You can't really tell what a team is.
For sure. You don't want to read too much into anything, but given the names in their top six, I expected more punch from them offensively than they showed tonight.
Yeah, like Evan said, like, I didn't notice Kane until the third either. I was like, oh, there he is.
Yeah.
He's actually doing something now.
And, I mean, Taves is a big part of that team. A lot of reason why people are picking him to go to the playoffs, and he hasn't played in
years.
500 days or whatever. Yeah. So
it's been a while.
Something to keep in mind there, but I think the Central Division or whatever division we're in now, back to the normal division.
Back to Central,
it's just so mediocre after the Avs and Winnipeg. It's just like,
I agree.
Anyone could really make the playoffs here, I think. Other than Arizona, I think they're going
to
be gone.
Yeah, they have actively chosen to miss the playoffs, I think.
But you're in the rebuild.
Yeah, third time's the charm, right?
I
think the Central is really the weakest it's been in a long, long time. It's
just the Western Conference in general.
Yeah, the actual Pacific is awful, too. It's Vegas and Edmonton and a bunch of bums, kind of. But
it's so weird how that shifts around, because, like, for a while there, it was this West Coast dominance. You know,
California's... they were good for a long time, those California... Okay.
All right.
They were good for a while. Now those California teams are... This is what happens when you get older. You got to rebuild and... Yeah. I'm glad we don't have to watch those teams anymore. It was nice to see a new team. I'm not looking this way anymore.
a good point, though. It's a good way to start the season when it's like, oh, you mean we don't have to play San Jose for the sixth time? Oh, thank God.
Oh, that was so brutal. I think it's going to be good, too, for the Avs this year, right?
Oh, yeah.
Seeing different competition, not just seeing the same six cats.
Don't lull yourself to sleep for a quarter of the games of the season.
Oh, you start thinking, I'm a different person than who I really am. I have a different identity than who I really am.
But it... look, there's not a whole lot more I think you could ask out of the Avalanche for opening night in this game. Yeah, they could have shut them out, or their special teams could have been better, but they were missing guys. They were missing Jared Bednar. Like, they came out and kind of dominated Chicago until they decided the game was over and they didn't need to try anymore.
I want some more from my man, Ranta.
You're going to need more if he wants to stay in the lineup.
100%. I'm rooting for the guy, North-South guy. Rooting for him.
Yeah, the only guy I really liked in that bottom six was O'Connor.
He
pretty clearly understands what his role is.
He was grinding out there.
Yeah,
tonight.
he was full go.
And Helm was okay.
He was fine. He kind of got blasted there in the second period, was it?
Yeah, what happened there?
He got smoked.
It was right at the end of the second,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
That was a nice hit. That was a nice hit. Yeah,
I didn't think on live, I didn't think it was that big, but they showed the replay, and he got blown up pretty big. So.
Yeah, that was the end of a long shift. I don't think he was hurt as much as he was just like, I'm tired, and now I just got destroyed.
So. Look, Avs are undefeated right now.
Yeah, let's go.
Nothing bad to talk about. Any final thoughts you guys want to add?
Just ready to see MacKinnon back, I guess, more than anything already. So,
yep, no doubt about it.
Really will even out the lineup and maybe get a better idea of what this bottom six is going to be, because tonight was kind of just like a mishmash of we're just trying to glue this together while we can.
If Kemper stays healthy and plays like that for the rest of the year, can't wait.
What do the kids say? Sheesh.
The second Kirby Doc breakaway, when Kemper came out, and it's like, you don't have anything to shoot at.
He's so big.
You don't have anything to shoot at. Like, yeah. It's just the Avs have – Varley was like – he was a – decent sized goalie. He wasn't huge, and this is just completely different.
Yeah, this dude's a monster.
Well, and like Kemper too tonight, like just the way he was moving. You know that movement where you're like, everything's fine, everything's going well, I've got this under control. Versus sometimes you watch some of those goalies and you're like, oh my god, this is going to be a goal at any point. Rudo, what is going on over there?
Living the dream. I'm living the dream over here.
Rudo is literally the best part of this broadcast.
It's fine.
I love the shoulder action. It's keeping me awake. If I didn't have Rudo right now, I think I'd fallen asleep by now.
That shoulder is keeping you awake?
I don't have a lot of action. And Rudo's giving me all I need for the week.
Look, Shakira's hips don't lie. My shoulders don't lie, Chad.
People want it lower, Rudo.
All right.
Oh, Randy, he's got a shirt on. That's the issue.
For real, though, we do got to get out of here for the night. Thank you, everyone, for hanging out. Thank you, JT, for the super chat, by the way. I don't know if I said that. Dr. Dubs, back in town, back in Colorado.
Let's go.
Avs are 1-0. We love all of you. Thank you for hanging out. We appreciate it so very much. Check us out every day. Usually not post-game, unless the Avs are playing, then definitely post-game. Podcast 5 days a week, whole bunch of other content. Check out our post-game content tonight if you're still awake, or tomorrow morning and that's when you want to see it. We are out of here, and until next time, we will talk to you all later.
Saturday's gonna be a
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Ulmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team. We'll talk about your least favorite team and everybody in between. And we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.